Ben, sing it from the heart.
Tick, 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 tick. Well, by and by we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 8. But we have time for a testimony. We always have time for a testimony, amen? Anybody want to brag on God? Honey?
I was going to say, you know, this week I've been thinking about what you said about starting off our prayer time with the Lord with praising Him. And it's kind of revolutionized my thought this week because I tend to be the first one to complain. Mm. It's hard to complain when you've been praising Him.
I'm telling you, yeah, that's right. Amen. Well said. Preach it. Amen. That's good. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. God's good. I want to praise the Lord. We had a great week with the Vadises. Each day, if you notice, bless you, each day my hair gets a little shorter. But what I lose up here, I gain down here. So I make up for it in width. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's been great. It was fun. I get to meet the dog, Leo. Yeah, nice guy. Amen. It's all good. Anyone else? Oh, by the way, you want to come Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
I know, if you've got something else and if there's any way you can get out of what you were going to do and not be here, I think you'll really be, it'd be a real blessing for you to come Sunday.
Amen.
I mean, you come all the time, but that's always good. I hope you always feel like it was good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Yeah.
But I think you'll say that for sure on Sunday.
Yes.
Amen. If not, have your money back.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Well, no, I can't say that.
Yeah.
Amen. Any other testimonies?
Yeah, I got one.
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank God that, you know, since you've been here, it's really opened my eyes, my wife's eyes, and just, you know, some things. But also, just sitting back in this week, the Lord really answered not only prayers for me, for John. I mean, for his grandkids, and I mean, just all these doors opening up, and, you know, the Lord finding out what's going on my back. I mean, when the man God gets up here and preaches, and the people start moving, so does he.
Yeah.
You see, God, you know, he's going to move when the people move. And, you know,
amen.
Sometimes, you know, and he's so good and merciful to us to give us those things. I mean, it may not seem like a big deal to anybody else that I found out about my back or maybe their grandchildren, but to God, that meant something to him.
Amen.
And I just thank God. I praise him for his goodness and his grace.
Two
so
big stalemates.
Yeah, amen.
Two big stalemates. Log jam broken.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we do thank God. You know, it's not the prayer, it's he who hears the prayer.
Sure, that's right.
The prayer is the action, you know. You're enlisting God's help. Hey, while you're at it, keep on some praise because he's worthy.
Yes.
Any others? Great, great testimonies.
I thank the Lord for the sunshine.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
They seem to have had more sunshine this winter, more sunny days this winter, than at least what I remembered from some past winter. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot more overcast days in some past few years.
That's right. Yeah, it was a nice day today. If you could feel it, if you weren't numb, it was good. Great. Any others? We got time. Amen. Is there something going on tonight? It's all here, right? It's all good. All right. Any others? Don't be shy. You want to say yip or yap? Anybody at all? All right. Did I tell you 1 Samuel chapter 8?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is my last night, and I hate to say it, but I have another beef. a little complaint. And I got another complaint about you. A blonde, or whatever person you want to put in there, a Hannah Billy, stormed up to the front desk of the library and said, "I have a complaint." "Yes, ma'am." "I borrowed a book last week and it was horrible." "What was wrong with it?" "It had way too many characters and there was no plot whatsoever." The librarian nodded and said, "Ah, so you must be the person who took our phone book."
Oh.
My complaint with you is this uncanny. Your pastor is like right there. I mean, we were talking at breakfast today. That was another blessing. I went to the kettle or crock or whatever the copper places are.
Keg? Keg. I was trying to stay out of the gutter.
Uncle Jesse said, let's go bowling. We'll get him out of the gutter and into the alley, you know. He was saying, you know, sometimes you just gather and there's just one point. It's just one little thing God gives us from the Word of God. You know, and our lives are really a sum of all those little points put together.
Yeah, that's good.
Tonight, I really just have one little point. And it's not really a complaint. It's not a great disagreement, but I don't like the way most people handle the way they deal with rejection. And you will be rejected. You will have disagreements with those over you and those under you. Right? That's life. How do you deal with it, though? We were never taught. We didn't know. We were taught evil ways by the world, television and such. The way you folks handle it, oh, tut, tut, tut. Some of you are like this. You stew. You don't get your way, or you're rejected, or your counsel was not used, or you have an idea and it's turned down, or someone rejects something about you, and you put it inside.
Right.
And it just cooks away.
Yeah.
It's like slow burn. Maybe a year, maybe a month, maybe a week, maybe years go by. And that slow burn, it never goes away. Time doesn't heal all wounds. God heals wounds.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes time gives God and you the opportunity to do healing. But time doesn't heal. You want to ask a Palestinian and Israeli, does time heal all wounds?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Right? But there you are, cooking away, cooking away. And then you go from being a stewer to a volcano. Mm-hmm. It's just some little thing, you know? And then just... it all... Well, 12 years ago... Whoa! I don't even remember. Are you sure it was me?
Yeah.
Wow, all that time you were cooking on that. You were internalizing it and it's keeping it. Some of you don't do that. Some of you do this. Like my dog, when my dog sees unpacking suitcases. When a dog sees a suitcase, our dog, she just changes her countenance. Bye, dog. She won't even look at you. She'll just kind of give you those big brown eyes. Sulk. She sulks. When I'm away, she chews on herself. She has anxiety there, but we've been told. She doesn't think I'm coming back. So I gotta leave some dirty t-shirts and something that smells like me around. Then when she starts chewing on herself, my wife puts it on the dog and she stops chewing on herself. It's like, some kind of smell, you know. That's what some of you do, though. You don't chew on yourselves; you chew on others, but you sulk. I suggested that, and they turned me down. And then by and by, you know what happened? You move from that row, you move to that row. Pretty soon, you're close to the door, and you miss a day, and you just quit because all that time that thing has been working on you, pulling on you. And the way you deal with it is to just die away from it. Some of you don't do that. Some of you do this. You hurt me by rejecting me, so I'm going to teach you a lesson. Out comes the slander machine. Right? I'm going to leave this church, and God bless you as I throw rocks. Right? Suddenly, you're all bad. When I joined and you were happy to take me, you loved me and I loved you. And now that I'm leaving because I don't get my way, I'm throwing rocks.
Oh.
I have a problem with all of you.
Yeah, that's good, bro.
And you crank up the slander machine and I rally the team of my little friends and we talk about you. Oh, I mean, we have a and that and all that kind of stuff. Oh, that. Some of you don't do that. Some of you do this. You get violent. You get violent. You don't get your way. You get violent. You're just... That's how you deal with rejection. You kick small dogs. You beat innocent little girls and little boys. And take it out on your wife or your husband or your mother or your father, right? Some of you take it out on the dumpster at work, you know, or that poor customer that happened to walk in just when you were exploding. And you just take it out on it. Some of you get violent. And then you're sorry. Cycle goes on. May I say, I'm probably missing some, but I don't like when that doesn't make any sense to respond that way. That's not going to solve the hurt that you have feeling rejected.
Right.
That's not going to help. It's like some of you don't do that. You don't do that. Here's what you do, though. I feel hurt. You didn't take my counsel. When I'm in pain, I don't want to be in pain. So I want to change my state. Right? So I take something, I take some chemical, I pop it, I snort it, I drink it, I smoke it, whatever the device is, so that I change my state. So for the next few hours or whatever, I don't feel that same pain. And tomorrow is worse. And tomorrow is magnified. You don't do well to do that. Amen?
Right.
You do not do well to do that. Tonight I want to give you when I worked at Kodak, I was reading my Bible and I found two things. I had some people under me. I was a line supervisor. They couldn't call it supervisor. I was a coach because supervisor was too old way, you know. You were the flow line leader. What's that mean? I was a manager. Right? Can't say that though, you know. So I had two principles. And the two I posted them. I had to launder them so it didn't look like Bible. But this is one of the principles. The first principle that I would use is if you have a complaint about somebody else, you've talked to them first. You'll find that in Matthew 18, verse 15.
Yeah, that's right.
Before you've come to me so I can mediate between you two. So if you come to me, let that guy in that third shift, and here's how I fix that. Oh, so-and-so, get on the intercom, so-and-so, would you come to the office right now? And the guy just turned ghost white. Oh, well, you did call him first, right? You did talk to him. Now you're here. You're not gossiping about him. I mean, I tried to work it out, and you didn't find satisfaction. Oh, well, I thought he was, no, he's still here. He's coming, you know. The guy turned ghost white. And after a while, they realized, I'm serious about this. We didn't have machine problems. We had people problems.
Right.
Machines are stupid. People are, they just act irrational. They act like undisciplined, lost people because that's what they were. The other principle was this. When you have a problem, when you're not received or your counsel's not taken, we're going to do this. And then you're going to be satisfied. And you're going to be in better shape than we found you, even though your counsel now has been rejected. 1 Samuel chapter 8. You get it? You know where we're going? Little life principle called they used to call it Pastor Scott process, the principle. I had two of them. This was one of them. And it came to pass, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass, and by the way, it always comes to pass, amen? It will come to pass.
Yeah.
When Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. What's Samuel's will? His will is that his sons would take his place. Can you see that in there? Samuel made his sons to be judges in his place. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. What's another word for lucre? Bribes, money. Yeah. And took bribes and perverted judgment. The Bible, I took bribes, okay, I got it. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel. This is where it starts getting hot. They came to Samuel under Ramah. and said unto him, Behold, this is so tactful, thou art old. I like that, you know. Why don't they say, you're old and fat? No, you know, gee, you know. You're old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Stop right there. Are they right? They're right. That's a correct observation. If they had stopped there, look at it. We've identified a problem, oh Samuel. If they would stop there and say, you know what, we want to pray about this, or we see this as a problem, things would have been different. But they jumped to their own conclusions and their own they jumped to their own response. They don't jump to God's response. And we do that a lot. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. I see a problem with you, and here's the solution. You're going to be on one side of this or the other someday, maybe even today. You're going to be a person in authority, and your counsel, your direction is going to be rejected by the main body. Amen. You're going to be a minority. Or you're going to be on the other side. You're going to identify a problem, and you're going to come up with your own solution, and it will also be not easily accepted. How will you respond? You know, your boss, you can practice this with your friends and your coworkers. Today is Friday. For many of you, you won't go to work until Monday. Sometime between Monday and Friday and next week, you'll have an opportunity to exercise these principles. And you'll see that the Bible is true. And God has a plan even for the little aches and pains in our lives. Because when you're rejected, it's not a little ache and pain. It hurts. Problem identified, but they have separate solutions. Look at verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel. He didn't want a king. He wanted his sons. When they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel pouted. And Samuel rallied his friends and attacked the leaders on the other side. Samuel posted on Bookface. He tweeted or twittered or twaddled or whatever, right? He did all. He got in there and he went on the talk show circuit. He was on Orfra and the Judge Judy, and you know, he made the rounds. How evil these people were. No. You can see Samuel prayed. Samuel prayed to the Lord. What a novel idea. When your things aren't going your way, you don't get your will done, your counsel is rejected. Pastor, I don't know how much, but when I don't counsel as much more. I'm more of a friend to pastors and other missionaries. I don't get into the heavy-duty counseling because it's really not my business. But I know when I did pastor, not very much of my counsel was really needed. Really. You know? And I noticed that the old adage, unsolicited advice is unheeded advice. If people came to me and asked for counsel, the first thing I'd ask them would be, have you gone to other people for counseling? Are you shopping? Right. And the second thing is, well, are you on medications now? Because it's important to know that. Medications are affecting how they think and what they do. And you know, what's really, why are you here? What's really going on? But oftentimes I'd do a lot of work. I'd really give really sound advice. And they rejected me. You know, it hurts. It hurts. Well, I could quit. I could pout. Or I could pray. Yeah. Ever go to your boss and you have an idea? Maybe it'll help your business, or it'll help you, or it'll work out a problem that's in the workplace. And they just, no, we're not going to do that. Whatever. Maybe the union would allow us, or some excuse. Pray about it. Just pray about it. Don't internalize it. Give it to God. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen? This is good counsel. Pray about it. Why do you complain to others when you can pour out your complaint before God, who can do something about it? Amen? poured out my complaint before him, the psalmist said. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. The way wherein I walked as they privily laid a snare for me. I looked to my right hand, beheld, but no man would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. So I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You can pray.
Amen.
God will hear you. It's good. Take a walk. Take a walk. Tell them about it. Look at verse 7, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of all the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee. Samuel, don't take it as they're not attacking you personally. Sometimes they attack me personally. But you know what? If I'm representing God, let it pass through. Hearken unto them. They've not rejected you, but they've rejected me. That I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt. Those people, I cleaned them up, I led them, I gave them safety, I gave them shelter, I gave them food, I gave them their heart's desire, and the whole time they murmured and complained, and they reject me even now. They served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Wow. When we read into a rejection of our person, you have to remember that maybe they do reject you as a person. But I got to tell you this. I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen? I'm accepted in... Are you born again tonight? Are you saved? You know, you're accepted in the beloved. I think I'm seated already in heavenly places.
That's right.
I haven't quite got there yet, but my seat's there. I'm reserved. I'm there. Amen? Now, if God can accept me, and this person over here, who's an equal dirtbag as I am, can't, I'm sorry for him.
Amen.
Move on. Amen? I'm sorry about that. I am sorry, but look at it. It is what it is. Amen? I'm not going to pout and have a hissy fit, and I'm not going to be violent, and I'm not going to run to a bottle because somebody said something about me and they rejected me. I'm going to run to the Lord.
Amen.
Because He loves me. That's just good stuff, isn't it? Look at verse 9, though. That's our key verse right here. Now God continued to answer Samuel. And He said, now therefore hearken unto their voice. Samuel, listen to them. Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. Hearken unto their voice. But wait. It just doesn't end there. How be it? Yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. Listen to them. Give them ear. But before you do anything, protest solemnly. What does that mean? Does that mean... Here's what I want you to do, Samuel. I want you to get a picket line and a placard. I want you to march outside their house. Israel, unfair to prophets. Israel, unfair to prophets. I want you to roll over buses, and I want you to burn police cars, and you know, I want you to burn your own houses in your name. This is crazy, you know. I want you to burn tires in your street so you pollute your own neighborhood. I want you to do all that stuff. I want you to make a big stink. Make a fool of yourself. End up in jail. And go ahead and loot the liquor store while you're at it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That'll show them.
Yeah.
That'll really learn them. Protest solemnly. With reverence. With gravity. But protest. Here's how do I protest.
The pastor of a church wants to change something. We got trouble. He wanted to change something.
Right? I can do this. I can pout and I can fuss, or I can storm out the back or whatever, withhold my tithe from him. Oh, that's going to hurt, right? Or I could go to him and say, I want to solemnly protest. I could take him aside. I just use Pastor for an example, okay? Because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
But here's what I should do. By the way, you should do this with your parents, with your teacher, with your co-worker, your boss. Say, Pastor,
Can I have your coffee, Vic? It's not, I want to make a solemn protest. Do you think you'd say, no, get away from me? No, not really.
Invite me, Vic?
Sure, I'll sit through that. And it says, show them what's going to happen. Pastor, you weren't here, but we tried this 10 years ago, and it was a disaster. This and this and this happened. And I'm concerned that if we make this change the same way, I'm concerned we're going to lose those people again, et cetera, et cetera. And if he's a good pastor, and he is, he'll listen. But he may not accept me. He may say, yeah, but, right? But I've done my part. I'm finished. Amen. I'm done.
Amen.
I've made my case. Has he clearly understood my protest? Yes. Okay, I'm done. If they continue to do that way, the way I would not do, I'm clear of it.
Right.
I'm free of it. Amen. I've done my part. Mom, Dad, your kids come to you. Okay, tell me. Show me what's going to happen.
In this case, Samuel told the Israelites, basically, this guy's coming. This is socialism's going to come at you. Oh, it's terrible, terrible what's going to happen. But show them. Prove your point. Be solemn. You might want to write down. Do you get like emotional and really hot? And you meet with somebody like your boss or your pastor or even your husband or your wife or somebody, and pretty soon you just feel like the hair is standing on the back of your neck and you feel your blood pressure rising. Maybe just compose a nice letter. Amen. Don't send it right away.
Yeah.
Put it in the drawer and wait tomorrow and read it again. Really, you didn't need to add that about his mother, and you didn't need to put those personal attacks in there, right? Just compose a nice letter and share the letter with them, not on the internet, okay?
Yeah.
And just sit down and say, I want to protest, but I want to do it solemnly. You know what? You're so sure you're right, but you could be wrong.
Right.
And if you handle it right, even if you're wrong, you're still okay.
Right.
But if you handle it wrong, like you have been, and you are wrong, you're a fool. You look bad. There's no saving face at all. You're a bozo. But if you handle it in a good way, if you make a solemn protest, not a big public stink, maybe you'll get information. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that I didn't have all that information. I often don't have the information. I have part of it. They had the other part. Amen?
Right.
Many years ago, there was a poem in Rochester called The Mariner. It used to be the Mariner Hotel. It used to be a nice place. Maine and Plymouth. But it had about 300 guests, and it was the homeless home for Rochester, for the down and outers. You check in and you check away your life. They'll give you $4 a day and you have to take your little pill. You don't take your little pill, you're out. And it was a dirty, terrible place, smelly. They'd fight over laundry and sheets and clean pillows. They'd have enough money to buy a bottle of that cheap wine. There's empty bottles all over. Place you walked in, it just smelled like urine. It was nasty. People are just nuts. We had an old lady there, her name was Esther. I'd preach away and she'd sit in the front and she'd just be just as normal as can be. All of a sudden she'd just start clucking like a chicken. They're rocking, it's coming. There's a spirit in this woman, Pretty soon she'd like cluck like a chicken. And the next few things are the most vulgar. She would embarrass sailors with the words that came out of her mouth. Hey, Esther! Get with her! Oh, hi, Brother Paul. She's okay for about 10 minutes. And I asked the aide, I go, what was her case? She wasn't always like that. She has family that are really rich over in Corn Hill. They want her back, but she won't follow the rules. They have rules. She can't drink. She can't smoke in the house. Well, she doesn't want it. She wants to drink her wine. She wants to smoke her cigarettes. So she gave herself to spirit. And there's all kinds of Bill, Bill the guy with one tooth. Oh, brother, and he'd smoke his cigarettes right down to the butt. I mean, you could smell the butt, polyester, whatever it is, burning, you know. He'd get it, he'd pinch it down there, and his face was all dark and yellow, you know, and, you know, just the wine old thing, right? He'd always, now, Brother Paul, he's always afraid because he can't stop smoking. I mean, he'd pick him up on the street, get a little more out of him. If I smoke, will I go to hell? He'd ask me that every week. What would you say? I don't want to say, well, I can't say yeah, because that might not be true. Right? But I don't want to say it's okay, because then he'll just continue without any guilt or any desire to reform. I finally said, Bill, you asked me, if you smoke, would you go to hell? Can I rephrase your question? Yeah, okay, Paul. In between, you know, sucking on this polyester filter. Okay. Bill, the question isn't, if I smoke, do I go to hell? The question is, if I go to hell, will I smoke? Yes. I can say yes to that. Amen? If you go to hell, you'll smoke. So let's look at it from that view. And I bring those kids in from Greece, you know, the rich suburb. They'd want to do a field project. And I go to the Christian school and I preach. And they're all like, ah, whatever, you know, playing the video, you know, whatever they were at the time. Yeah, sure. I go, tell you what, you guys aren't listening. Let me show you where you're going. You want to play footsie with the devil? You want to plug into that devil? And by the way, they all had that in common. Was the music. They all had the devil in their brain telling them to do crazy stuff. They're all on this song, The Crazy Train. I don't know who the artist is or whatever his name is, but it was all The Crazy Train, right? Yeah, man. As we were there longer, they were younger people. They were Satanists. And I bring in those kids from Greece, just, you know, lily white kids, you know. Dad makes 200 grand and mom works, you know, in a dental office, make 100, and they go in there and they go, whoa. Pretty soon they kind of come in like the front door, kind of casual. Pretty soon when they get in the front door and they smell that urine and they see all those eyes looking at them and like the old women trying to like clutch the girls and tell them, they bunch up pretty close to me. And I didn't have to say them stay close because they were like, oh, you're right there. Take them around. We preach a sermon, and some guy, I don't know his name, old black wino, stands up and goes over in the corner and he urinates. You know? Show them. Teacher said when those kids came back, boy, did they listen. They listened. Chapel was good for a couple weeks. Listen. You can show them. In this case, Samuel showed them. He showed them socialism. I'm not going to read it. Verse 10, 11, all the way through 18. Look at 13. He'll take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, to be bakers. 14, he will take your fields, your vineyards. This is what happens. You're going to get a king. Your olive yards and the best of them and give them to his servants. And he'll take, look at this high tax rate. He'll take a tenth of your seed. Can you imagine that? Taking one tenth of your seed. Wow. That'd be great. Only one tenth. That was a lot though. He's going to take a tenth of it. And he's going to give it to his officers and to his servants. He'll take your main men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men, your asses, and put them to his work. He'll take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, we will have a king over us. We want an action figure. You're an old codger and your sons ain't no good. We want Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, we want someone who's, you know, 6'8" and handsome, and we want a king. We want somebody like Saul. Do we want a big guy, you know? We want a guy that looks great on our kid's wall, you know. We want to give him a contract and he could play for Buffalo or something, you know. We want James Bond. Or Bond, whatever, right? We want come by 007. Samuel cried out and said, "You know, Lord, they never heard a word I said. It's very well your case. I told my parents and they wouldn't listen to me. I told my boss and they blew me up. They gave me C shift instead of A shift. They penalized me for bringing it up. Amen? I think if you protest soundly, though, you won't be penalized. You got it off your heart and you did it in a tactful way. Some of you ladies, you probably notice I'm not a lady, so I don't have the experience, but I think it'd be hard to speak to your husband all the time. Amen? It might be hard. And there's going to be times when you just don't agree. Instead of doing the usual thing, your usual plan A, B, C, D, E, to get your will done, why don't you follow this plan here? Look at what Samuel did. Why don't you protest soundly and let it go? Amen? You've given it to God. This was God's plan. This is what God told you to do. How do you think... I'm coming to an end here. We're not going to be long tonight. How do you think Samuel felt? He's been their judge since he was a kid. Right? He knew these people when they were in diapers. If they had diapers, you know. Here they are, rejecting him and his family. How do you think he felt? I'll tell you what he did, though. He handled it right. He persevered. He didn't try to win his case. He just did what God told him to do. But he did not quit. He would go on. Look at where are we? Look at verse 21. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Lord, I did what you told me to do. And this is what they said. Isn't it good to get it out? Right? They said this, and they said that. Instead of getting it out on the internet, or keeping it and letting it stew, or hurting your dog, get it out. Rehearse it before the Lord. And they said this. Go ahead and complain before the Lord. And here's what the Lord said. Verse 22, the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice. Make them a king." Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man into his own city. Let's go home, cool off." And you know what he'd do? He'd make him a king. He was rejected. How do you handle rejection? I don't like the way you have been doing it. You know something about Samuel? From this time after, from the time that he was a youth until this time, he was an influential person in the little nation of Israel. You know that after he's rejected, he'll be 10 times more influential. Don't you know that he'll anoint their first king? Don't you know he'll be like the mentor, in a way, to Saul? Don't you know that's a powerful thing? Don't you know that even Saul's replacement, because of his disobedience, young boy named David, don't you know that Samuel will also anoint him? That's pretty good. He has a lot more influence after he's rejected. But if he had quit, if I resign, that does it. Somebody else be a prophet around here. I'm tired of this. People. You never listen to me. Bosses. Father and mother. I'm gonna go to Nome, Alaska, and live in an igloo by myself. That'll kill him. Don't you know that after rejection, he was more influential than before? But if he had quit, he wouldn't have any. Don't quit. Do this process. Persevere. I don't like the way you've been handling it so far, so I suggest a change. I suggest you do this. First of all, pray. That's a good thing to do anytime. Pray. Get God involved.
And when you pray, you find some stability. You're not out on your own. You're finding your roots, your strength. You're enlisting God's help. And then protest solemnly. Don't just protest. Don't be a bozo. Don't internalize it. Don't do anything. Do something. Do something good. Protest solemnly. Because remember, you might be wrong. And also, if you protest solemnly and you're right, you allow the other person, that supervisor, that pastor, that boss, that father, that mother, somebody, you allow them to save face.
Yes.
You allow them to change. Yes. Because you've been reasonable.
Yes.
But if you give them ultimatums and, oh, you better do this, well, you put up a wall. Right. And the wall's thicker and thicker the more you try to get over it.
Yeah.
Take down the wall, be graceful, protest solemnly, prove your point. It doesn't mean you have to go to start, you know, Perry Mason on your team, but communicate effectively so that you're comfortable that they understand your point. Show them your argument. Well, this and this and this. You may find that really you don't have very good points. That you're just being emotional.
Yeah.
So show them your points. And then persevere. We'll all be happy. It'll all be good. Amen? Some little thing. But I can guarantee it. I mean, I can almost guarantee it. If you're dealing with people and you're in some chain, you're in a family, right? You're in a church, you're in a workplace, you're somewhere, you're probably, if you're a kid, you've got the dog and the goldfish under you, you're a father, you've got the boss, and you've got a family under you, you know, and you got the boss, and you work, you know, in the church, there has to be order, or else it's anarchy. And there's going to be times, and it's going to happen more than you think, when you just, you know that feeling? How do you feel? What happens to you physically? You feel it. You feel hurt when you're rejected. There's just, wait, don't do what you've always done. Wait, don't do that. Stop. Oh, I know that feeling. I'm feeling like I'm rejected. Now, how do I deal with this? Do I respond biblically or do I react in the flesh? Because reacting in the flesh hasn't helped me very much. Why don't I consider change in the way I respond? Would you do that? Am I clear?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Pastor.
There you are. That was very simple.
Amen. There's a lot of time. You can do a couple more sermons.
Yeah. I don't think we'll need a couple more.